You're listening to Bob, Dave, and Moore.
Streaming live through the Alaska Airlines studio on the 710 Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Bob Stelton, Dave Wyman, and Jim Moore.
It's a misfit radio theme. For good reason here.
Why, is he the biggest of the misfits? The biggest misfit of the three?
Dave, myself, and Danny, we were all equally misfitty.
Misfitty. <Yeah. laughs>
Pretty much.
Well, he's making his triumphant return. He's with us on the Zeke's Pizza Hotline. He is Danny O'Neill. Hello, Danny.
Hi, Bob. How are you?
Good. How's it going out there?
It's very nice. It was awesome today. It was so hot. Just fantastic.
How's, I saw you throwing your teammate, your co-host under the bus for not making his bed. What's that all about?
He doesn't make his bed.
So
I think it's pretty self-explanatory. It's slovenly.
I don't make my bed.
Why not?
Because I'm going to get in it that night.
Well, come on, man. You're going to feel better about yourself. You should make your bed every single day.
No,
one man should make his bed every single day.
No, I wash the sheets once a week, and I make the bed at that point, and then there. So once a week, I make the bed. You live with somebody. You're married, so it's a different dynamic there. That's all.
Yeah, but even when I live by myself, I made my bed. Yeah.
All right.
You make your bed.
All right. Before we move on to more important things, just how small are those beds? Because I've been told Dave and I are going to share that room with the twin beds or whatever's in there. And it feels like I'm sleeping on a little kid's bed.
I don't think you're going to, I don't think you're going to be able to stretch fully out. I think your frame is going to be too long. And it's not one of those where you can just hang your feet off the edge. There's like a, there's like a rail at the bottom. So I think you're going to have to sleep with your knees bent.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, maybe
you're also going to have to decide which of Dave's barrels you want pointed in your direction.
We've discussed that. I think that becomes a very obvious choice.
Is it going to be the snoring or is it going to be the tailpipe? Because you're going to have to pick one or the other.
Don't you think Bob could kick Shannon out of the master suite and say, you know, Shannon, you're smaller than I am. It'd be better for me to have the bigger bed. Do you think that would go over well with her?
I think if you were able to sell it, I don't know if Bob has the finesse and kind of the grace that you do, Jim. So I think it would take that velvet touch you seem to have when you talk to Shannon Dreyer to smooth that one over.
Oh, thank you, Danny.
Yeah, he was being very, very sincere there. Yeah. You could tell. So, Danny, what's been the highlight so far? You guys have talked to a bunch of people. I saw a video of you guys throwing pitches. Were you actually were part of the broadcast today?
Yeah, they brought us up in the fourth inning and had us answer some questions, which was a great relief to me because at one point earlier in the day, basically when I woke up this morning, I thought they were going to have us announce half an inning, call half an inning of the game. And I was like, hey, that's going to be an absolute mess because I can't really host a radio show, let alone do something like call an entire half inning. And thankfully, that wasn't the case. Dave Sims was incredibly hospitable and asked us some questions over the top of the fourth, which was a blast to talk to him. Paul had me by about a good 12 miles an hour. I need to work on my form. I don't think I'm getting the right extension in my pitching form. I need to get more of my legs into it. I was disappointed with my velocity.
I like that he referred to himself as the chunky right-hander.
So what's your
exactly right.
What was your fastball again? Was it 49 miles an hour?
47 is what I sat at. I'm going to blame the hernia surgery. It seems like as much as anything, and I did feel kind of strained when I twisted and drove through. So I'm looking for anything to save a semblance of pride. But yeah, 47. It was kind of pathetic.
Okay, even though you took a shot at me, Danny O'Neill, I'm used to that from you. I'm going to give you a compliment because I listened to your entire show this morning, Danny and Gallant, and I heard three interviews that I really enjoyed with Kyle Lewis, Julio Rodriguez, and Justice Sheffield. And you started off the morning. My kids were excited to hear Julio Rodriguez. They didn't want to hear hip-hop. They wanted to hear from Julio, and he didn't disappoint. Boy, he sure sounds like a fun kid on top of all the talent he has, too.
Yeah, he's striking. He's big. It's striking to stand next to him and to see him. He is every bit of 6'4", and I think they have him listed at 180, and I'm sure he's 210, 220 at this point. He is a pretty impressive-looking athlete. I think the thing that I like the most is that you saw an excitement from him that is one of those, a lot of times, and I understand it, baseball players can't get too high or get too low, But to see someone who's kind of early in his journey in professional baseball, and he's seeing all this possibility open up before him, and how excited he is, it was really, really fun to hear him talk about that, and to see kind of this is a guy who has taken the first steps toward his dream, and he's got a ton of talent, and it was a blast to sit there, and it was really kind of exciting to think about him being here as a Mariner in the not too distant future.
Danny, the Mariners have one of the youngest organizations in the league right now. You've been around a few teams, Mariner squads. Does this feel like a youth movement? Is there something different about this team? Is the energy different? What are you feeling out there?
Yeah, this is different than anything I've ever seen from the Mariners. The Mariners I guess if you went back to Ken Griffey Jr., you might have had some of the same groups of young talent coming through. But even then, there were veterans that were mixed in on those teams, some veteran pitching. This is truly a team where Kyle Seager is the lone kind of guy that would be an experienced veteran. Then you've got guys like Marco Gonzalez and Malik Smith, who on this team are older players. Last year was a transitional year where they had a lot of parts that you knew weren't a part of the long-term future. They were going to be things that were juggled. Jay Bruce came here as part of the trade with the Mets that netted Jared Kelenic and Justin Dunn. You also had that Edwin Encarnacion was here. Like a lot of guys that you knew, like, okay, sooner or later, they're probably not even going to finish the year here, let alone be here 2 years from now when the Mariners are hoping to start to be good. And you get the sense of a bunch of young guys whose baseball clocks are lined up, where Kyle Lewis and Jake Fraley and Evan White are all guys who are really going to try to make names for themselves and make a career for themselves. And I think that though there's going to be some struggles early on in terms of the results, I think having this group together to grow is going to be a huge boost to them in the long term.
Hey, Danny, what's the vibe like out there? The few, you know, opportunities we've had to speak with players, I've asked them all the same question. That is, when you hear from the top down, whether it's from the owners to the managers, the GM, and all of them saying, you know, it's really not about winning this year. That's not the nobody's anticipating a good year in terms of record. It's about developing the youth for the future. That can be a tough season to head into, hearing that and sort of knowing that. What's that vibe been like out there?
You don't get any sense of that from the players. And honestly, when we've talked to both Service and DePoto down here, neither of them has given off that vibe either. It has been about excitement for the younger players. I think that tone is more directed outward to manage expectations from people on the outside, because I don't think any of the younger players come in thinking that, oh, this is a time that there's no pressure on us. We don't really have to do anything because they don't expect things. You've got a number of young guys who are playing for positions in this franchise in the future. And I think the measurement from it, if you had a number of veterans here this year, if you had four or five guys that were here, if Jay Bruce was here right now or Edwin Encarnacion was here right now, you would have that sense that those guys know that they're not in the long-term plans and that they're still in productive years in their career, they hope, and it's going to be, as long as they're with the Mariners, it's going to be expended on a team that's not expected or even built to make the playoffs. But because there are so many young guys, I think they look at this is a chance for us to continue competing, and the progress might not show up in the one loss record, but I think the progress will show up, and what they'll be looking for is improvement over the course of the season.
What'd you think of Logan Gilbert today? He was a starter, two innings, only gave up one hit, no runs. They lost to the Giants 5-4, but still, it was an impressive performance from him, especially in light of his first outing last year in Peoria. He was so nervous that he couldn't get the job done, so I think it was encouraging to see what he did today.
Yes, and he's a very big dude, and he's probably, of all the different pitchers that we'll be talking about, he's certainly the one that has the highest ceiling. He's just physically imposing. He's a tall guy. He throws really hard. He had mono after the Mariners drafted him. They drafted him out of Stetson University, which has produced a number of other really good pitchers. I'll be interested to see where he starts the season. Do you put him in AAA? That's last year especially was a league where the hitters just ran roughshod over people. And look, Justus Sheffield ended up having to go down to Double A because he was just getting kind of pounded at the Triple A level. I think there's a fairly good shot that we're going to see Logan Gilbert before the year is over. He looked really good today.
Danny, it's hard to talk baseball and not mention the Astros. Are you hearing any kind of chatter from the Mariners about the Astros?
Marco Gonzalez talked about it a little bit, and I actually think Marco's perspective is and belief is that they weren't the only one that was doing it. And kind of thinking that I think he feels encouraged that it's been addressed. When I asked him, kind of, do you expect it to stop? Do you think that's done? He said that's a really good question, and he felt that baseball was at an important turning point here to see. So I think everybody in baseball is collectively angry at the Astros, but I actually think that most of the anger comes with the non-apology apology, as opposed to most of the players, I think, believe they knew what was going on before. I think they're most mad now about how the Astros have reacted to that report and that news.
Are you going to heckle them, Danny, at T-Mobile Park?
I think so. I think I should.
I'd be surprised if you didn't.
Yeah, what, 7 Astros have been hit in the first 4 Cactus League games? I can't say I feel bad about that, although I sit there and think, I was like, that's not really, I mean, as a society, are we still at the eye for an eye? Like, yeah,
yes.
Give him one in the middle of the shoulder blades.
Yes.
I mean, does that really fix anything?
No.
Does it just satisfy our bloodlust, like we're an eye for an eye Old Testament society?
Yes.
But they should get some heckling. They should. I was saying this. Here's where I think that the Astros have gone entirely wrong, is that they haven't understood that you have to suffer for a little bit. Like, that's part of it. Like, you have to wear it in baseball terminology. You got caught. You got cited in the commissioner's report. None of the players got suspended, but people got in trouble. And you got to accept being vilified for a little bit. And instead, they're like, oh, signs are being taken away at the park because it says Houston asterisks, and Josh Reddick's talking about all the things that are being said to him on social media. And there's a part of it. You guys just got to shut up and wear it. Like, stop complaining, stop crying. Everybody gets to hate you for a little while, and we don't want to hear you try to engender any sympathy. So just pipe down. Just pipe down and look miserable.
They're whining about it before the season's even started. They haven't had to travel to an opposing ballpark yet. I mean, this is... And I think it was Reddick, somebody saying, oh, it's enough already. And I'm thinking, oh, man, this is going to be a rough year for you guys, because I hope they get every bit of it. The only thing I don't approve of is the threats to family, threats of physical, outside of the confines. Yeah. That's lame. That's pathetic. But them being plunked, I'm for it. And if it starts fights, great. I think there's going to be a different level of attendance to their road games. I think perhaps the ratings will go up. People are curious. People want to see. And I think people do kind of want eye for an eye to a certain extent.
I've got to wonder, is this the millennial response to it, though, where they're kind of like, I said sorry, so just leave me alone now. I'm like, no, that's not really how it works. Like, granted, you said sorry, and that's fine, but you're going to have to be miserable for a while. And I don't want to hear from you and, like, say, oh, are you okay with me yet? No. Still in timeout. You're still a jerk. Like, don't look at me for a little bit. And it kind of seems, I'm kind of, if they cave in and if they have a crappy season, I'm going to look back and think that they're incredibly soft. That, like, if you're the Astros right now, don't you build up an us against the world? Like, we'll go and show them. They're still an incredibly talented franchise. Like, it's a really good team. They should make the playoffs. If they end up going 500, I'll think that it's just evidence of how weak-willed they are.
Yeah, and I've talked about the fact that, you know, everybody goes into a slump at some point, but the second anybody on that team of note does, whether it's Correa, Altuve, Bregman, any of those guys, the first thing out of anybody's mouth is going to be, oh, well, they don't have the opportunity to know what's coming, I guess, is who they really are. And, you know, and they're going to feel the pressure of that slump more than any other season, by a long shot.
And if they're going to be looking for some sort of affirmation or some sort of sympathy or support, like, they're not going to get any of it. People are going to be rooting for them to fail. And if they start getting all pouty about that, well, they're going to have a bad season, which I think actually would be very, very funny because I do find it to be like, we already said sorry. Come on. It's not that bad.
Hey, Danny, when you and Paul are talking about Jadeveon Clowney, are you guys, do you feel like, it's okay if he goes, if he's going to ask for $23 million, or do you just say shoot the moon and bring him back?
I think Paul is more shoot the moon to bring him back. But he even he's kind of tempered in that regard of you can't give him so much money that you can't add anything else. I think I'm closer to the idea of I'd like him back, but if I'm not sure if I would give him even what Frank Clark got. And the reason is they weren't good. Like they weren't good with him last year. And if you spend that much money to keep a player with whom you weren't good, are you going to have enough left over to address it and make yourself better? The reason that I pause and say, yeah, I think I want him back and do want him back is you certainly don't get better by losing your best players. But it's if you ended up being able to get two or three veteran pass rushers, kind of guys like people that are out there, Jason Pierre-Paul or Robert Quinn or somebody else that's available, if you're able to get two or three of those guys for the cost that it would be to get Jadeveon Clowney back, I'd have to think real long and hard about that. And I do think about the last time Seattle went into free agency looking for pass rushers, they got Cliff Avril and Mike Bennett. And that was a different year in the salary cap. The market kind of came to them, and I don't think that's necessarily going to be the case. But I think of between the two of us, Paul is closer to that blank check approach of you really need to get him back. And I'm more of like, I'll pay him, but man, even if it's as much as, I don't know if I want to pay him as much as I would have paid Frank Clark a year ago, and I'm certainly not going to go above that.
Danny, if they don't sign Clowney, do you spend money on Jaron Reed? Do you give him what he wants?
I think Reed is going to come to you. And what I say by that, I think the market is going to work against the Seahawks with Clowney because I think you're going to have multiple teams betting on him. I don't think anybody's going to meet Jaron Reed's price. And in that way, I think that the market is going to bring him back to you. The fact that he wants more than the Seahawks would be willing to offer and the fact they haven't extended him yet would mean that, okay, they've got to a point where they're going to let him test the market, and I think it will push him back. I think he'll end up coming closer to Seattle's price, and Seattle will probably offer him a shorter contract or a 1 or 2 year deal with an eye toward, hey, come back here, rebuild the value, and get what you want. You wanted more. It didn't work out this time, but you can get back out on the market as soon as a year from now. And in the meantime, earn a healthy salary in a place you like to play.
Danny, we identified the offensive line as priority number two for this team. The pass rush number one, the line number two, and it there's potential. We'll see what it lives up to be, but potential for massive change outside of Dwayne Brown, right? I don't expect you potty back. People are talking about restructuring Justin Britt's contract, whether he's amenable to that or not. You've got Ifedi, who doesn't appear like he might come back, and I guess Fluker will probably be back, but you're talking about potentially losing three or four of your starters on that line. Who would you want to keep, first of all, outside of Brown? Who do you think is a must-keep, and then who are the solutions? Do you look at Jamarco? Do you look at Phil Haynes? Do you look at Posick even? Or do you feel like they've got to go off the board and bring in free agents and draft as well?
I think if Justin Britt isn't back, if you are going to release him or try to renegotiate his contract, and that remains a question, I think you have to bring Joey Hunt back. I do think Jamarco Jones will be a starter. I think of all the players, Jermaine Ifedi, Mike Iupati, DJ Fluker, like that group, George Fant is the one I want back the most. In part because I think he can play right tackle, and I think he gives you a potential eventual successor to Dwayne Brown at left tackle. Brown's at a point in his career that you've got to consider that. So of those guys, I think that Ifedi is gone. I don't expect Iupati back. I don't think Posick is going to be, and if he emerges as a potential player for you, great, but I don't think you can count on that. I don't think there's anything that he's shown in that time where you're like, oh, he'll be able to step in. It doesn't mean you shut the door, but you can't count on that. I do wonder, Bob, how much of our lives over the past 10 years do you think we've wasted talking about the Seahawks offensive line.
Well, that, it's more specifically how
every,
much of
every year, Bob. How every much every year? It's oh my God, Russell's getting hurt. He's getting hit too much. We've got to change it. Oh, this is sure they finally address it in the draft. They draft James Carpenter 4 years late. When are they going to address the offensive line? They draft Jermaine Ifedi 4 years late. Well, what Jermaine Ifedi wasn't. How much of our lives have we wasted talking about this?
A whole bunch, but I'd say I have more. You've done more listening.
That's a very fair point. Very fair point, Bob.
As I demand answers from Danny up in the press box when somebody...
Summoned before the man to provide answers. What did I just see? I don't know, Bob. I did not. I neither drafted nor coached that player.
Who the hell's he blocking? What was going on there?
All right. Well,
again, I confess ignorance.
Here's one for you, Danny. Last question from me. You're known as being the best parser of Pete, and even Pete Carroll has acknowledged that you're pretty good at it. But I had no idea what he was talking about with the base defense discussion and the numbers worked out well versus three wide receivers. I didn't see things working out all that well defensively for the Seahawks all year long, whether it was passing, run defense, whatever. What did he mean by all that?
He meant that when they stayed in the base defense, that they actually weren't victimized. They didn't have problems with three receiver sets. That when they were in base and the opposing team had three receivers on the field, which oftentimes defenses will match up with a nickel package, that wasn't the matchup that created problems. The base defense tended to struggle when the other team still had two receivers and either two tight ends or two running backs on the field for that play. And what that would mean is that the struggles that the defense experienced, they did have and give up yardage when they were playing base, but it was against the formations that you would assume they would have an advantage against because they would have their heavier personnel, their bigger personnel on the field. So it actually explained to me what Pete was seeing over the course of the season. And we're all wondering, their defense stinks and they're playing a ton of base, and it must be because they're not able to cover the wide receivers when they keep three linebackers on the field. And what Pete was saying in response to that is actually, when we had our three linebackers on the field, we were pretty good against teams when they had three wide receivers out there. It was the other sets of the problem. And then that creates the question, well, why was that? Why would your defense be better than you expected in the situation that would seem to be a mismatch where you've got a linebacker potentially covering a wide receiver, and yet you were victimized in those situations that your base defense should be able to match up with. So I thought it explained why they stuck with it. I don't know why they tended to struggle when they were facing base offensive packages with either two tight ends or two running backs.
Danny, good to catch up with you, my friend. Enjoy what's left of your time out there in the sunshine. Sunny here, just not quite as warm is all. So
yeah, it's going to be great.
Right. Yeah, thanks, Danny.
You bet. I'm going to leave a present in your bedroom, Bob.
Oh, boy. I really got to talk to Shannon and see if I can change her mind about this.
Yep. There'll be something there for you and Dave to look for. I think you guys will really enjoy it.
I don't think we will. Thanks, Danny. Appreciate it, man.
You bet. Talk to you soon.
There you go. There's our buddy, Danny O'Neill. We go from him to another buddy. Comedian Adam Ray is in town. He's got a show coming up we'll talk about. More importantly, he's doing some work with Mark Sanchez. I saw him on video catching passes from Josh Allen and Sam Darnold, all these highfalutin people out there. So he's going to join us in studio next. It's Bob, Dave, and Moore with Michael Bumpus in today on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio. Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
Now here are your hosts, Bob Stelton, Dave Wyman, and Jim Moore.
It is Bob, Dave, and Moore here on 710 ESPN Seattle. Michael Bumpus in today. The 5 o'clock refresh is brought to you by Frost Brewed Coors Light, made to chill. We got our buddy in studio, comedian and local legend, Adam Ray. You got to hit that button. Turn that mic. There you go. There you
Wait,
go.
Is this? Oh, yeah. You now guys had me turned off. You're already afraid I'm going to say something inappropriate.
Yeah, they got an itchy trigger finger back there.
Did my mom tell you to turn that light on? She's in the back.
I'm hovering over the dump button. Where are you?
Hovering over the dump button. That sounds like something I rented.
Yeah.
Late night. All right.
Hi, Adam.
What's up, guys?
Boy, there's an intro.
Good to be back.
What are you doing in town? You're doing a show where?
Well, look, a lot of comics, when they come into town, right? First of all, there's like a lot of venues you can play in Seattle. The Moore Theater, right?
Right.
Classic. Paramount. I was there in October. Bobby, you came out.
You're out there slaying Dane Cook, showing him how it was done.
Yeah. Well, he's way better. But we had a good time. Really. And then you know, there's you got the Neptune. But very few comics like to go off the beaten path and go to places like Enumclaw, Washington to perform at the Chalet Theater.
Nice. Jim- I like Enumclaw. I do.
Nobody ever.
They've got some good restaurants out there, too.
Do they really?
Yeah. My kids played baseball out there one night. It was a great spot.
Arby's does not count as fine dining,
no,
Jim.
I know.
Wait, what do they have? The state of Washington holds a dear place in my heart. So I'm very – I always get confused, though, with places like Enumclaw. Because is it near Puyallup?
Yeah, it's farther out.
Okay. Because I've been to Puyallup. I've been to Sumner. I think I drove through it. But Enumclaw was always one of those. Enumclaw was almost like the Playboy Mansion, where you hear about it as a kid, and you're like, boy, someday I'd like to go there. I just don't know anyone who has an inn, but you know, or a car, you know?
Nice views of the mountain.
Nice views of the mountain, yeah. What is there to do other than, like, we're going to stay overnight, you know? So what should we do, since you sound like you're a...
I was only there once in the last 6 months or
that
so.
That seems like enough.
My kids had a game out there, but there were some nice restaurants downtown.
Nice.
Yeah.
You got really excited when
you said that. You did. Your eyes lit up.
No, I think it's cool that you play a small venue like that.
I love
that.
It, yeah. No, well, it's not that small.
Because when
I
was in Los Angeles... No, I'm driving
taking
along.
Taking digs at me? Yeah.
A hole in the wall.
No, it's cool that you go out to a place where nobody's going to come to. Yeah.
I think
about you.
Yeah, but I was also in Las Vegas, and I saw your name up on the board there when my kids were down there.
Give me a bump, dude. You did. I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a...
giant billboard in Vegas advertising you playing where?
The Tropicana.
Okay.
Yeah. I love to plug shows where people don't live, so let's keep talking about this. I think it is great, though, and this is why the business is so humbling. It's like, you know, Jim came in and was like, dude, I saw your face on a billboard. I was like, let me live a normal life, man. You know, quit fanning out before 6 p.m. But it's like you go from billboard like that to then to the Claw.
Enumclaw, baby.
Do people call it the Claw?
They should if they don't.
Well, see, Bumpus, when you say Enumclaw, baby, in that cool, smooth, sultry voice, yeah, then it makes me want to go there, you know. But it is, look, comedy is everywhere. People want to laugh everywhere. So also it's like when your agent's like, hey, they'll give you this much money. You're like, cool, can we get a little bit more? They're like, they don't have any more. You're like, all right, I'll go. I'm fired up, dude. Live near Enumclaw or anywhere around, or if you're in Seattle, man, you want to take a two-hour trip, you know, put the kids to bed and just roll the dice.
What's the name of the place again?
The Chalet Theater. Or maybe it's Chalet Theater or the Chalet? Dude, I don't know, man. Can they read an Enumclaw? I don't know. Where am I going? What are you going to say, Jim?
All right, so you get these questions all the time. It's the first time we've had you. What made you want to be a comedian? And is it as fun as people think
it is? Oh, it's the best, yeah. Well, look, like any job, you know, it takes a minute to get your feet wet. And it's truly you know, you got to sacrifice relationships and fun, and you're trying to build something out of nothing. My first open mic was here at Giggles, which is now Laughs Comedy Spot. It was Giggles, then it turned into a nightclub for gals to dance called Jiggles, so they didn't have to change the sign. And then it went back to Giggles, and now it's Laughs. But so when I did that, I always did theater and plays, so I always wanted to be – I loved the live fix of just the interaction with the crowd. And even though when you're doing a play, they're just kind of watching and listening, but – And I was always kind of a funny kid, so it was like seemed like a natural fit. And once you get a little taste and a little bit of laughter right off the bat, you want more. And then the challenge steps in where you have those shows that immediately follow where you bomb, and you're like, and this is where you decide if you're going to do it or not. You go, all right, I want to go up tomorrow immediately and fix what just happened and try again, or you just get scared and it's overwhelming, and you're like, all right, that's too much, you know. Which has happened. I mean, there were two different times. I performed in London when I was studying abroad there and at a bar, and I lied my way to get into the show. It was like this big show, probably 600-seat comedy club, and I was like, yeah, I'm from L.A. I'm just in town. And by the way, I was like 4 months into stand-up, and I was like, yeah, just if you guys got time, no worries. But, you know, I was trying to be real cool about it, and the guy was like, no, it's gonna be awesome. Like, please come in, you know, go up on stage. You know, I'm an American comedian. It would be amazing. And I get up there, and I just bombed so hard. And the guy gave me like an awful intro to. He's like, this next bloke just walked in, and he was forced his way on stage. I don't even know if he's funny. If he's not funny, don't hold it against me. What's your name again? Adam Gray. And I was like, Ray, come on. And I remember calling my mom on the phone right after, and I was like, I'm never doing stand-up again. I'm moving back to Seattle and then probably driving to Enumclaw to get an Arby's, wherever Jim recommended. But no, it's fun, dude. It's now I'm in a point where you know, I've gotten some cool opportunities, been in a bunch of movies and TV shows, and now it's, you know, now I trust myself on stage, which is what you want in any job. Like, now you guys are behind the mic. There's not anything you feel like you probably can't handle or talk about because you've done it. You put in the reps, you know?
Well, that's different for Jim.
Well.
Yeah. Jim's like, well.
Jim doesn't share that feeling.
Are you constantly looking for material, new material?
Oh, yeah, dude. Dude, I had an instance on my flight today, which will probably be a new 5 minutes. There was a guy behind me. These two businessmen, right, behind me. And they were listening to a movie on their phone with no headphones. And I've had this happen before where I videotape the person because I'm like, hey, man, if you're going to do that, I'm going to put you on the gram. You know, that's Instagram, Jim. Yeah. And so,
Thank you.
Do you have social media, right?
I do.
Yeah. What do you post on Instagram?
Pictures of my dog.
Great, dude.
Yeah.
I just saw a pic of your.
It's mostly Facebook, though, because I'm an older person and older people do Facebook.
Facebook still rules, though. There's still a place and a purpose.
Twitter. Yeah.
My mom's on Facebook all the time. She comments on a lot of pictures of food. Which, by the way, you know, it's stuff like somebody posts a picture of like a salad and she's like, yum. Right, you could probably just think that. You don't have to put that down on the keyboard. Other times she'll say just what the food is. She's like, lasagna. It's like, it's not a game show. People know what that it is, you know. And
when she goes to your show, does she critique what she saw?
Not
like,
anymore.
Like, Adam, that wasn't funny?
She's laughing back there right now.
She will tell me to slow down. That's like the big mom comment.
Yeah. Speak rapidly.
I do, yeah. I try to be articulate, but she's been, you know, there since the beginning. I mean, even when I, you know, when I told her I wanted to be in the NBA, that was probably the only time she was really like a little too direct with her critique. When she was like, Adam, there are no Jews in the NBA. And I was like, well, what do you mean? And she's like, well, turn on the TV. You're not going to hear Rosenbaum for three, you know, Weinstein at the line for two free throws. He loves those. You're not going to hear that, you know. So, but, yeah, I mean, like on this plane, these guys were watching the phone without headphones. So I taped them. And then they started yelling at me. They stood up. They were like, call the cops. Like, this guy can't tape us without it, whatever. I was like, guys, it's not illegal. I'll delete the video. The stewardess came over. She was like, what's going on? And they were like, this guy's taping us. We got to kick him off the plane. Call the cops. Like, losing their minds. It became a whole thing. And one of them was like, what do you like us, man? Is that why you're videotaping us? Huh? You're going to go home with this footage? I was like, dude, what are you guys talking about? It blew up into a whole thing to where the captain came out. And he was like, fellas, am I going to have to land the plane? And I was like, definitely don't do that. I do not want to end up on the internet for the wrong reasons and not be able to travel to Enumclaw this weekend. But so, you know, there was a lot in that moment. I'll probably dissect some of it for the
end. Yeah, there's a lot of material. That's not one you can tell here.
It's not. Look, there's a lot of details of that story I'm leaving out because, you know, we're in the,
Yeah.
The drive time slot. What's that?
Do you ever feel like, cause you're a comedian, right? You're outgoing personality.
Yeah, yeah.
When you go out with your boys, you're single. I don't see a ring on your finger.
No, I got a girl.
Well, in your single days, let's not get
sure. Let's go back to those. Yeah.
Did you feel pressure to be the icebreaker? You know, cause.
Oh, yeah, dude. That's a great question.
Cause I'd send you all day, like, hey, get this done.
Adam, go talk to them.
For sure. Dude, I hate awkward silence. The amount of like social gatherings or barbecues I've been at where people are just like, so Jason's starting to he's doing this funny thing where I'll stand up off the couch and he'll look at me and I look at him and you're just like, is there an ending to this story or are you just wasting all of our lives right now with the syllables that are coming out of your mouth? And then, you know, so I'm always feeling like I got to save. And again, I'll usually try to bust people for moments like that, but yeah, I mean, like, there's
Well, do
a little
you always
more...
feel like you have to be on?
No, for sure not.
Okay.
No, I'm a very, like, I got two sides. I like to chill out and watch some, you know, Extreme Makeover Home Edition, right? You know, puff on the magic stuff. But then right now it's, you know, it's when you have opportunities, you know, like this where you're hanging, I do feel like I want to be on. But it's also my personality. So this doesn't feel like I'm performing. It's like you guys are fun dudes. And, you know, if we could get... you know, get some you know, beers in here. That would be even cooler, you know?
Well, can you hang
yes,
out?
Yes, it would.
Can you hang out? You got a lot of recommendations coming in on the text.
For the claw?
Yeah. Yeah. Dude. A lot of them. I can't read them all. We'll get to some of those coming up. Adam Ray, local superstar. He's made it nationally, and he's going to be in Enumclaw. That's when you know you've reached the top of the heap right there.
All right, dude.
Right?
You know what? I thought I could come here in a judgment-free zone. But Bubba, give me a go see Adam at the Claw in a really cool. So,
you guys go see my boy at the Claw. And bring the claw with you. For me.
If that's not the commercial to get you to go see me, yeah.
We'll come back with Adam Ray here. It is Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Bob, Dave, and Moore.
Streaming live through the Alaska Airlines studio on the 710 Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Bob Stelton, Dave Wyman, and Jim Moore.
It is Bob, Dave, and Moore here on 710 ESPN Seattle. A reminder to listen to our show via the 710 Sports app. It's powered by Dubin Law Group. Our buddy Adam Ray is in studio with us. He's got a show coming up in Enumclaw tomorrow night at the Chalet.
I can't wait. It's actually Saturday, but if you want to go and camp out tomorrow night. You know what I'm saying? Get those tickets. There's still a few avail.
Where do they get them? Ticketmaster, or is it at the door? How does that work?
You're so kind. Get them at AdamRayComedy.com, which is where you can find all my tour dates and you know, videos and YouTube and crowd work stuff and podcast info. But I think maybe, I don't know, theclaw.com? Is that URL still available?
I don't know if that one's still active.
Yeah.
Before we get into what you're doing with Mark Sanchez and everything, you post a lot of videos on Instagram.
Yeah, you gotta keep that hot content coming. Jim knows.
I would say the majority of them are you owning audience members.
Right.
I say this to every comedian I talk to. I never, ever understand the motivation of somebody in the crowd to try to outfunny the comedian, because it seems like you're just waiting for it, because every one of these people you just eviscerate. It's never fair.
I appreciate you. I mean, it's like, look, I used to be so bad at it. It's all listening, dude, and just trusting yourself. But I've gotten to a point, and I used to watch, like, Patrice O'Neill, you know, rest in peace, one of the first comics I saw that was, like, real good at crowd work, where he'd have three or four conversations going and then somehow weave them all together by the end of the show. And he was brilliant, but he was a great listener. And then, you know, like we were talking about, getting to a point to where you trust that, instead of thinking, like, I got to say something funny, trust that you can actually build the moment and a little bit of small talk and then, you know, come up with something. And keeping the audience on your side, so that you can crush them if you have to, because if you are kind, you're killing it with kindness and you're trying to give them an opportunity and use them into the act, and then they keep coming at you and then you need to slam them. The audience is like, yeah, dude, well, now he deserves it, or she. A lot of times it's drunk girls, you know, bachelorette parties, and they just don't get it. They're like, we were just laughing. Like, no, you weren't. Otherwise, you'd still be here.
This is the worst place to sit, in the front. Because I've been to comedy shows, and I'm so scared to sit in the front. Like, I'll be in the back far right corner so no one says anything to me.
Well, I mean, a lot of – not every comic also likes to do it. And you know, sometimes I'll use it to go into, you know, my thing. Like, you know, even talking about, like, when I wanted to be in the NBA, I'll use that as a way to ask somebody, like, what do you do right now? Like, what was your kid dream? And they're like, oh, well, right now, currently I'm in sales. And I was like, well, that couldn't have been the dream. They're like, no. I was like, what was that dream that you had on the playground when we were all delusional? And you're like, man, if you put your heart and your mind into it, you can do anything. And then you grow up and become an adult, and you're like, all right, not anything. We've all got limitations, apparently. Time to reassess. And then they'll give me a real answer, and then I'll go down that path and have some fun with that. But, I don't know. It's the challenge of not knowing what's going to happen. You got your scripted material, and even that is always changing and adding on, and I try to be present to where I can improv in the moment. But crowd work, you never know. I'm at a point where I trust I'm going to be able to make it into some hilarity, but that feeling of like, oh, man, this could sink or sail is sink or swim. What's the saying?
Sink or swim.
Sink or swim.
What did I say? Sink or sail?
Sink or sail. Same thing.
You guys didn't question me, and that's a true dude bro move. You guys were so dialed in, and dudes wouldn't do that. But there are gals that I've seen. This is, again, like guys and gals, like there's a support thing too, where guys will make friends. I was talking to my buddy about this the other day so easily. Like, we need very minimal information. Yeah. It's like we want to fight and make a friend in the same moment. So there's all this testosterone. It's like you'll bump a guy's shoulder at a bar, and it's like, and he's like, well, hey, dude, you hit my shoulder, dude. You trying to fight? And he's like, no, nah, man. Well, I know I can just shake my shoulders wherever I want. Yeah, well, that hurt really bad, dude. Maybe watch where you're going. I was like, well, I didn't know you had a bum shoulder, dude. Yeah, I just had shoulder surgery last weekend because of a softball tournament. He's like, oh, you play softball? Oh, is it co-ed or is it just dudes? Like, what's going on? Do you like food? I love food, dude. Do you breathe air? Dude, I breathe every day, man. Are we brothers? But girls get a little more catty, and they need to, you know, take an excursion to meet. But
Well, that's pretty good, though, because I'll sometimes sit here doing an interview and I'm going question by question rather than listening to what the answer is.
Yeah. But again, I think you guys have nailed it, though. Like, you got, but that's the challenge in doing this, right? Is being present, and like when I'm talking to somebody in the crowd and also thinking about like trying to just deal with that moment, but also like once that moment ends, and if I, you know, hopefully, you know, put them down and take care of it, then not letting a lot of air go by before I go back into my act and trying to keep it seamless. And I think I've gotten pretty good at it. But there's countless videos. I now have guys almost every weekend taping my shows. And if you just YouTube Adam Ray crowd work or heckler, there's some pretty classic ones.
There's some good stuff on there.
75,000 followers here.
It's not bad, yeah.
That's impressive.
Oh, thanks, man.
What's the handle? What's the Instagram?
Oh, Adam Ray Comedy on Instagram and Twitter.
Now, you also have posted videos of you with, you're doing something with Mark Sanchez.
Yeah.
You sent me a video the other night of you catching passes from Josh Allen and from Sam Darnold, Joe Burrow, who probably be the number one overall pick.
That guy looks good, man.
What are you doing? How did you get into this?
So Sanchez, he's on TV a lot for, you know, Get Up and Inside the NFL. And so Showtime Digital was like, we want you to do a football, like, podcast, but show, like, almost, you know, you do some field pieces, whatnot, and let's get a comedian to partner you with. And they were like, hey, who's playing Enumclaw on February 29th? Okay, that was a joke. That went right over you guys' head. You guys, again, are so attentive, which I love, but also stay with me. Laugh when the moment needs it. And so they
Brian's dying back there. He's,
Brian,
during the break, he's Brian, going, man, he is funny.
Oh, nice.
Brian, yeah, you got at least one new fan here.
Yeah, nice. Brian, the fake Suns fan.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
I love it. But Brian and I were talking, like, would you get the hat that you like just because of the colors and the team? And how, like, guys will, again, like, we're such dum-dums. Like, I bought a Giants hat once because I liked the colors, and some guy came up and he's like, oh, man, Giants! Oh, dude, heck yeah, man. Dude, ah, man, who was your favorite player? I was like, oh, Rod Beck was dope. You know, he kind of looked like one of my dad's friends that would always want to, you know, try to buy us beer and play our video games and break the controllers. But I was, you know, I don't know, Jeff Kent. He's like, oh, dude, how do you think the season's going to be? I was like, I don't really know, man. I'm a Mariners guy. And the look on his face was like, I told him, like, I just locked his kids
guy.
In my trunk.
I'm that
you know?
Guy.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, if you wear a hat, I automatically affiliate you with that team. All right, who's your favorite player? Let's go.
Dang, dude. I'm you can't guy. Just like the – yeah, I guess if you're a true fan, you got to, you know, just wear the stuff that
I wear.
That
I wear
squad.
Nothing but L.A. hats. That's,
oh, you're an L.A. guy.
Yeah, L.A. guy.
Nice, dude.
Except for the Seahawks, of course, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Stick to the script, Mike.
Remember where you're at. Remember in the audience.
So Sanchez, he was like, oh, let's meet some comics. And so I met with him. We just kind of hit it off. And he's a real funny guy and real smart. And just we had a good vibe. And so we did a few test shows. And now we've, you know, went to the Super Bowl and the Pro Bowl. And we've had on, you know, Deshaun Watson and Jason Kelsey and the McCourty twins and Miles Teller, the actor, and Krista Thompson, who's on Fox and Seattle native as well. And you know, we got Mahomes coming up, and Pete, I guess, is going to happen because Sanchez and Pete are still good homies, so that'll be dope.
Where can people see that?
So it's all on YouTube. If you just type in Fourth and Forever is the name of the show, and then it's all the, you know, all the audio places you get podcasts. But we're doing a lot of cool field pieces, too, and this one we just did with Sam Darnold and all the young quarterbacks, Josh Allen, Kyle Allen, you know, Burrow, like you said. I got to work out with them, which is one of the cool things. And, you know, being it's funny because I asked Mark, I was like, are you worried for me? Are you embarrassed? And he's like, yeah, I mean, a little bit. I was like, yeah, but I'm an athlete. He's like, are you? And I was like, all right, touche. You know, remains to be seen. And so I went out and caught a few balls, and Allen threw one as hard as he possibly could, apparently. I caught a few, you know, from Kyle and Burrow and sideline balls and, you know, and he had the gloves and everything and did okay. And then Allen, apparently, they were like, chuck it as hard as you possibly can. And he hit me, dude. I was wearing a GoPro. So for him to also hit it below the GoPro, right in the numbers, and all I had to do was wrap my hands around it and fall to the ground. And then I stood up and I was like, I'm in the NFL. And they're like, no, you're not. I was like, all right, cool. Sleep on it, you know? And then I went for one more ball from Allen that I like tried to just overextend and then literally just like pulled my hammy. And I come back and Burrow's like, was it obvious that I pulled my hammy? He's like, yeah. And I was like, how did you know? He's like, the way you came up and you screaming, I pulled my hammy, kind of gave it away. I was like, all right, you're pretty funny, you know. But it was a dream, dude. I mean, those types of things are like, you know, it's extra cool. And then it's, you know, the show is really, obviously you get all the X's and O's with the football with Mark, but like, you know, I'm a good eye of the fan to be able to giving a fan perspective and know enough and to participate and keep it light and funny. And it's, I think it's different from a lot of sports shows you get out there.
Well, check it out on YouTube, Fourth and Forever on YouTube, Enumclaw on Saturday.
Chalet Theater, baby.
AdamRayComedy.com.
You got it, yeah.
Is where you get tickets for it. Adam, good to see you, brother.
Dude, thanks for having me.
We're going to come back, talk a little more football. The professor, John Clayton, will join us next year. It is Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Wow, you sure know a lot of stuff.
It's great to learn,
because knowledge is power.
I feel like there was a lot of learning happening in today's show, but we'll find out for sure with Maura. Was there some learning? Did we learn some things?
You are correct.
Okay, what did we learn?
We learned that Jim even surprised himself today.
You can't go through another season with 28 sacks.
I'm right there with you. We're in agreement, Jim. We're not debating that. I don't even disagree.
I'm actually getting worked up over this.
I know. Jim's showing a rare level of passion.
Yeah, I don't know where I found that.
Are you
Jim
exhausted
came in hot.
Now?
You came in hot, man. I loved it.
Are you exhausted now? Did it take it out of you?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. Do you find that at all when you leave? I mean, I know we're only here for 4 hours.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of mentally...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're just kind of
done. It sounds crazy because you're just sitting here talking about sports. Yeah, but I'll walk into my car, and I'm going, I know I'm not physically tired, but...
Oh, it can be draining.
It means you're fully invested.
Is it?
That's all that means.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Focus. It's that intense focus that you have, Jim. It takes energy.
Intense focus.
Yeah. Well, when you're in. Sometimes you're out.
Yeah. Sometimes I am. I know. I have to ask you sometimes with Clayton, like, did we ask him about... So-and-so,
yeah, those are the out moments. What else did we learn?
Well, after we played the cut of Chandler Jones having a little fun with Jermaine Effetti, we got a lesson from Bumpus in Smack Talk.
That's probably one of the things I miss most about football is the interaction between you and another the opponent. It's awesome.
Where is the most smack talk? Like, I always picture it between receivers and cornerbacks, but is there more going on in the trenches, or where do you think the most talk is happening?
You would think it's in the trenches because you're always so close, right? But yeah. You got to think about the outside. The DBs and receivers are the pretty boys who run their mouths a lot. So I would think DBs and receivers go at it most.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially DBs, man. I mean, they just run their mouths. You think about the guys who run their mouths the most. I think of Josh Norman.
Sherm.
Right? I mean, it's part of their DNA.
Yeah.
You got to have that, though, don't you? I mean, that cockiness to succeed at that.
Especially at DB, because, I mean, more plays are going to be made on you than not. So, yeah, you got to be cocky out there.
What else did we learn?
Well, Danny, let us know what you're in for at spring training.
Like, I don't think you're going to be able to stretch fully out. I think your frame is going to be too long, and it's not one of those where you can just hang your feet off the edge. There's like a rail at the bottom. So I think you're going to have to sleep with your knees bent.
Oh boy. Is there a couch in this place? Maybe I'll sleep on the couch. This doesn't sound appealing at all.
Big man problems. I know. Yeah. I don't have it. I feel like they make beds for 5'11". Like I stretch all the way out. I'm good.
Yeah. Plus I got to deal with Dave snoring. He's already warned me. He's already warned me about that. Danny talking about which barrel is better. It just doesn't seem like an appealing situation.
Do we have any sleepwalkers we can throw in there?
Yeah, and Danny said he's going to leave a surprise in the room for us, which God knows what he might do.
If you want me to help you with Shannon, I can do that.
Yeah, work your magic, Jim.
Oh, you're a Shannon whisperer?
Yeah. Yeah. I'll be sleeping in the backyard.
I haven't gotten that vibe when you two are together.
You haven't?
No.
Oh.
You think you've got sway with her? If you do, go ahead.
I'll try.
Okay.
I'll try.
What else did we learn?
That's all we learned, guys. Well, I mean, we learned a lot from Adam, right? But I couldn't really sum that up.
He was great. He was great. Yeah, too hard to put that in a concise little package. All right. Thanks to our guests today, John Clayton, Danny O'Neill, and comedian Adam Ray. Really fun to have him in. If you missed any of today's show, head to the podcast page, 710sports.com. Click the podcast button, then just click on our picture. Everything you missed is waiting there for you each and every day. We're back tomorrow right here with Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle.
I mean, sometimes I lack passion, but I do. I admit it.